All right, then let's begin again with Pasuk 19. What we are reading now is a description of tragedy that befalls the house of David. We described last week the increasing power and strength of Avshalom. We also gave what seemed to be, to us at least, the outward reasons why it was that Avshalom rebelled against his father, and it was a mixture of all sorts of things, all of them rooted in a his ego. We were talking about a man with an ego. He's very good looking. He is therefore charismatic. He is the heir to the throne, according to some shot that we're already talking toward the end of David's reign, though that's not certain. But listen, the desire for power is something that is an extremely corrupting influence. What can you do? I mean, that's the reality. I don't think that we have to go much further about how a son can rebel against fathers. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. I'm trying to think of the last time it happened, unless you're talking about the minor rebellions that children rebel against their parents. But here we're talking about a man, obviously, with an ego that had no control. His appetite was great, and yet on the other hand, he seems to have been an extremely pious person. Remember, he was a Nazir, and that's why he didn't cut his hair.
Once a year.
Yes.
Then again, doesn't do that.
No, because there are different kinds of Nazir. There's Nazir Olam, like Shimshon. There's a Nazir like Avshalom. There's a Nazir like Shmuel. And then there's a Nazir who's only a Nazir for 30 days. So there are different kinds of Nazir. What it means, of course, is, listen, this is the reality. People will do for power things that they would not otherwise do. Pasuk 19. The king said to Itai Hakiti, why should you also go with us? And there is a difference of opinion amongst the Mepharshim whether Itai was Jewish or Itai was not Jewish. Most of the Mepharshim, it seems, holds that Itai was Jewish and he came from the city Gat and he had joined the forces of David. He most probably had come in close contact with David early on in David's career. David turns to Itai and he says, "Lama teleich gamata itanu? Why do you also go with us?" Shuv. Now we have to stop for a moment at the next few words. Shuv, return v'shev im hamelech, v'shev im hamelech, and stay with the king. Who does David mean when David says v'shev im hamelech? Whom does he mean? Rashi and the Radak say that he means indeed Avshalom. Why does David refer to Avshalom as Melech? So they seem to feel that he was testing the loyalty of Itai. How is Itai going to react and to respond to that? And otherwise we'd have to say that David has already given up all hope, or he's sending up a trial balloon, maybe like Rabin referring to Arafat Yimach Shemei V'Zichroi as Ra'is, president. Here he's referring to Avshalom as Melech. So Rashi and Radak say yes, that it is Avshalom and that he is testing him. And watch, we're going to see what Itai will say. Ki nachri ata.
Wait.
So we have to see what the Mepharshim say. Nachri ata. So Nachri means a stranger, either a stranger because he's not part of the Jewish people, or Nachri means somebody who has come from afar. He is from elsewhere. V'gam gola ata l'mekomcha, and you are in a sense in exile. In other words, where are you going to go? His exile meaning that he is not at home. T'mo bo'echa, it's only recently that you came. V'hayom aniyacha imanu lalechet, and today I should already encourage you or move you to go. V'ani holech al asher ani holech, and I'm going where I'm going. I don't know where I'm going to. Shuv v'hashevet achecho imach, Chesed ve'emet. Go take your brothers back. And here the Mefarshim say Chesed ve'emet. Imach Chesed ve'emet. One pshat is that David says, I recognize and I appreciate the kindness and the truth that you've done with me, that you wanted to do with me. I appreciate the fact that you want to go with me. I remember all of the chesed ve'emet that you had done for me. It could also mean that he is saying, imcha chesed ve'emet. Your responsibility now is to do chesed ve'emet for yourself. Your responsibility now is to take care of you, yourself. I'm telling you, you've journeyed a lot. You're in exile. It's only recently that you came here. Now I'm going to take you along with me, or you're going to follow me to a place where I know not where I'm going. Do yourself a favor. I say imcho with you. The time is now imcho chesed ve'emet. There are times when people, yes, have to look out for themselves. So David is telling him, you should be number one. Imcho chesed ve'emet.
Now chesed ve'emet has to do with death later, right? Usually, when we talk about chesed ve'emet.
Well, that has become sort of ingrained in our minds only because of a Rashi in Chumash where chesed ve'emet. Rashi in Vayechi, when Yaakov asks Yosef, please don't bury me in Mitzrayim, and you should do with me chesed ve'emet, kindness and truth. So Rashi there says chesed shosim im hameitim, the chesed that one does, the kindness that one does with the dead is true chesed, because one does not look for any kind of reward or thank you. But and therefore, of course, chevra kedishas are very often referred to as gemilat chesed ve'emet, or the committee for chesed ve'emet. But it's not so. Any kindness that it really represents self sacrifice, where one does not seek any kind of reward for it, is chesed ve'emet. I'll tell you where else we have it in Torah, if I'm not mistaken. Chesed ve'emet mifgashim tilu, but I wanted to say in Torah, I think it is Rivka that does chesed ve'emet with Eliezer. And there it's not the... with
the
dead?
There,
both. Yeah. Both are there. Chesed and emet is there. And I think Boaz or Naomi tells Ruth that she had done chesed ve'emet with the dead and with her. What she had done, she thanks her for what she did for the for her husband and her brother-in-law and her father-in-law, and then what she did for Naomi. I believe I may not have the pasuk precisely, but it's there. There's no question about it that that's a no question that that's a chesed. But we're trying to interpret the words imcha chesed ve'emet. So we said two pshat, that one, I appreciate and I thank you and I am grateful for the chesed ve'emet that is with you, that you did for me. Or imcha chesed ve'emet, it's your turn now to take care of yourself. Vayan Itai et ha'melech, Itai answered the king vayom, and he said, Chai Hashem, I swear to God v'chei Adoni ha'melech, and I swear by my master the king, ki im b'mekom asher yiyah shom Adoni ha'melech, only in the place where my master the king will be, im l'mavet, im l'chayim, for life or for death, ki shom yiyah avdecho, there will your servant be. Why the so much, I mean, no, we're not even finished yet with the psukim that deal with Itai. Vayomer David al Itai, next pasuk David says to Itai, lech avor, go pass. In other words, you can join me. You know, David is reviewing those who are coming along with him. I imagine the importance of the story of Itai is, and this Tanakh will do often, the contrast. The contrast, it brings into sharper focus the tragedy of the rebellion of Absalom. The Nochri, Itai, from Gath, with his people come, and he's given the opportunity with respect and with dignity to go back, and he chooses to go with David. He remains absolutely faithful. He takes an oath. And on the other hand, the son of Shalom is the one who rebels against his father. Vayavar itay agita yuchol ha-mashav. But more than that, the chol ha-tafa shalito, all of the children. In other words, they are going with their families. I mean, this even makes the image and the focus even sharper than we could have imagined. In other words, the taf of Itai are with David, and David's own taf, David's own child, is the one who rebels against him.
Do you have anything of Ivri, of like joining and going over here?
Well, I think the Avor, I think it's a good point, the Avor represents, we're on one side, and they're on the other side. Isn't Avraham called Avraham HaIvri, precisely because Kol HaOlam, the whole world, is on one side, and he is on the other side. Therefore, pass over. You're going to this side. The Kol HaAretz Bochim Kol Gadol, and all of the land. This is also, sometimes we don't even notice, but over here we notice it more clearly. Very often in Tanakh you will find an expression where there's really a word missing, but the word is to be understood. The land wasn't crying. Kol Haaretz means Anshei Haaretz, the people of the land. But there are words that are just left out or unnecessary because we already understand them. I mean, but it's obviously that it's not the land that is crying, but it is the Yoshvei Haaretz. And you have this, especially with the word Aretz, you have it in different places where the word Aretz represents not the land, but the people of the land. The Chol Haaretz Bochim Kol Gadol, the Chol Ha'om over him, and all of the whole nation that's with him is passing. Bahamelech over him, and Achav Kidron, and the king is passing through the valley of Kidron. The Chol Ha'om over him, Al Pnei Derech Et Hamidbar, and the entire people are passing through on their way through the desert. There's something about this pasuk. I mean, you know, we're an intimate group, so we can discuss these things. Look at the word Ovrim or Over. How many times does it appear in this pasuk alone? The Chol Ha'am Ovrim, the Hamelech Overach Alto, the Chol Ha'am Ovrim, Nachamol the Chol Ha'am Ovrim. Al-Pnei Derech Et Hamidbar. In other words, they are going along the road, they are traveling to the, which direction? They are traveling to the east. The Midbar Yehuda is to the east. I don't know why there's something about the word Over, there's something about the word Over that maybe can leave the impression that this is something that, you know, on some level it's something that's passing. Does it necessarily mean that this is permanent? Or then again, Ofrim, you know, there are things that pass upon man during the course of life. I know there's something about the word Over. I don't know what to do with it yet. But there's something about the word, the rites of passage or passages.
Five times in the, yes.
So many stages in life.
Yeah.
Passages, yes. So many stages in life. And here it's when David most probably would have assumed or would have hoped that, you know, it's all over. All of the great crises and the great struggles of his life should be over. And here he is involved in most probably the most tragic crisis of his whole life. Let's go. Let's just cover some ground here today. And all of the Leviim with him, Nosimet Aron Brit Olokim, they are carrying the Ark of the Covenant of God. Vayatziku et Aron Olokim. Vayatziku means they put it down, or they created a pedestal. They built, you know, some rocks. They put together a place where they can put the Aron Olokim. Vayal Aviatar, and Aviatar, the Kohen came, and he stood near the Aron, Ad Tom Kol Ha'om La'avor Min Ha'ir, until the entire people crossed from the city. It leaves the impression that the overwhelming majority of Jews in Yerushalayim followed David out into the desert. They're following him out into the desert. Vayomer HaMelech L'Tzadok, the king said to Tzadok, Hashev Et Aron Ha'elokim Ha'ir, Return the ark to its appointed place in Yerushalayim. Im emtzachin b'ini Hashem, if I will find favor in the eyes of God, the Heshivani, he will return me to the capital, v'hir aniyoto, and he will show me that city again, v'et na vehu, and his holy place. I don't know if there's something that's moving. David has no idea if he will ever again see his beloved city. He may be leaving Yerushalayim now for the last time. I mean, there's something very tragic about it. And here he's standing by Nachal Kidron, most probably he's gazing backwards, and he will continue to gaze backwards in order to get that last look. But he still is the David who has tremendous faith, and this is most probably a prayer that he should find favor in the eyes of God, so that he should bring me back and show me Oto, the city, and Noveu means his dwelling place, the place where the Aron HaElokim is housed. V'im kol yomar, and if God is going to say so, if he's going to say, lo chofatzti bach, I don't want you, hineni, here I am. What he's saying is, if there's been a gezeira, a decree min hashamayim, that David is to be rejected by God, David accepts upon himself the divine decree. He accepts the Yisurim, the suffering, with love. V'im ko yomar, if God is going to say, lo chafatzti bach, I don't want you, hineni, here I am, ya'aseh li kasher tov be'inav, let him do to me what is good in his eyes. What this is really is a response to what was said to him at this point, I don't know how many years earlier. That because of the sin of Bathsheba, hineni me'kim alecha ra, mitol beitcha, I'm going to bring evil upon you from your family. And here it is, David might have said, Rebbeinu Shalala, Rebbeinu, gotten him, I've suffered enough. How much suffering? I mean, he's gone through so much in the last few prophet. But David is accepts upon himself with love the Gzeira Min Hashamayim. I mean, these are powerful, powerful, extremely strong emotions that are being expressed by David. You can only be a David HaMelech Ois Tzehalten to be able to take this kind of suffering. By Yom HaMelech El Tzorek HaKoyen, the king said to Tzorek HaKoyen, Haro'e Ata, don't you see, Shuva Ha'ir B'Shalom, return to the city in peace. What he's telling him is, don't you see that it might be best that you should return to the city in peace? Now, it could be Ro'eh Ata, he's talking to Tzadok the Kohen. Maybe he means that Tzadok should see by means of the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. Or it could be you should see the logic. What David really wants is he needs his man in Yerushalayim. You understand? At the very same time that David accepts upon himself the divine decree, does not mean that he's therefore just going to give up and lie down dead. He is going to continue on the level of Derech HaTeva, in the normal order of things. David is going to continue to act. If ultimately he will fail, which to him means that God has made a decision that I don't want you, then he accepts it. But meanwhile, he needs his agents in place in Yerushalayim. He needs his eyes and his ears. V'achimad bincha v'yehonatan ben Aviatar, shnei b'neichem itchem. Achimad, your son, and Yehonatan, who is the son of Aviatar, the Kohanim at Tzadok and Aviatar. Achimatz is the son of Tzadok. Yehonatan is the son of Aviatar. Shnei b'neichem itchem. Your two sons with you. Re'u. What I want you to do is see. Anochi mitmameha be'arvot hamidbar. Abo dobar me'imachem lagidli. I am going to tarry. Now take a look at the word. The word is ba'avrot hamidbar, and it is read be'arvot hamidbar. Arvot hamidbar, of course, means the arava. But it also, in other words, so one word means place, the place which is the arava, and it is also the avrot, that which you pass through, and it already indicates that they're coming to the Yarden and they're going to cross over the Yarden. I'm going to wait, I'm going to tarry there before I cross the Yarden. Until word will come from you to tell me. Now we understand, of course, that he wants Tzadok and Yonatan and Achimath to remain in the city so that they should be his eyes and ears. Vayoshav Tzadok ve'Aviatar et Aron ha'Elokim Yerushalayim vayeshu sham. Tzadok and Aviatar brought the Aron ha'Elokim back to Yerushalayim vayeshu sham, and they remained there. In other words, after they brought back the Aron, they too remained, and they didn't join those who are fleeing from the city. The David, huh?
The word Mishnah,
the Jesus
Mashiach,
we have in the first chapter.
Can you
use in any
other place in
the
Tanakh other than the Stephens?
Sure.
Moshe.
Is it? No, it doesn't say.
It says Boshesh.
What about
Lot?
Ah, that's it. One of the Shalsheleses in Sefer Bereshit is as the angels want Lot out of the city. You have to get out of the city because God is going to destroy the city. A Shalsheles over there, he waits, and the Shalsheles is beautiful because the way the Shalsheles is said, it represents musically the idea of you know, he's waiting, he's tarrying, he's not going. So he said, I'm going to wait. And David, listen, it's amazing how we can follow him. He has passed Nachal Kidron. Nachal Kidron is right past Shar HaAshba, and then if you just go straight, you have to go right up. You're right at the foothills of Har HaZeisim, and you go straight up. B'Ma'aleh HaZeitim Oleh U'Bocheh. He's going and he's crying. V'roshlo chafui. His head is covered. Chafui is covered. Because the covering of the head was something that was done by Avelim, by mourners. V'hu holeich yachef. And he's going barefoot. He's going barefoot. V'chol ha'am asher ito chafu ish rosho. Every one of the people who was with him, they covered their heads. V'olu olohu b'cho. They're going up and they're crying. I mean, it's a, what a dramatic pasuk. You can imagine. They look like in one sense, it's an army of people going, but it's Rachmanis Anatevka. Anatevka, you understand? They're going out into exile.
To me, the first picture I got was
the pictures that you have of Jews being taken in chain off to Bavel. Others will see the death march out of Auschwitz. I mean, the Nebuchadnezzar. Alo u'bachol, going, he's going, and he's crying. Unbelievable. V'David higid leimor. David had told all of those who are around him, Achitofel bakoshim im Avshalom. Achitofel is bakoshim, the conspirators. A conspirator is called a kosher because he has made a kesher. He has tied a knot with the enemy against the king. Achitofel bakoshim im Avshalom. Achitofel is amongst the plotters with Avshalom. Vayomer David, sakelna et atzaf Achitofel Hashem. He says, he prays, God, make foolish the advice of Achitofel. Achitofel was the great advisor of kings. Achitofel, we're going to see that the advice of Achitofel was like the advice coming directly from God. He was the great planner. He was the great idea man. Achitofel, of course, you may... Good. I didn't have to finish the sentence from Shepard Nachas. He was the grandfather of Bathsheba. So in a sense, he most probably should have mixed emotions, but the one emotion that remained with him was the first one. In a sense, on some level, that David had violated Bathsheba. On the other hand, Achitofel should have felt he's the father-in-law of the king. He's the father-in-law of the king. I don't know, that's...
There's something strange about people. Like there are some people who can, who never forget. You did me an avla once, it makes no difference. How many things you're going to do later, you'll never live it down. Never live it down. He saw the his first contact with David, in a sense, was the fact that David, if you would have asked Bathsheba, would Bathsheba have said that she was violated? Absolutely not. But no. Is it possible that, well, Bathsheba acted without asking her father's advice? Human beings are so complex. Sometimes I give up on trying to figure them out. You can't figure them out. You never know what it is that motivate people. So therefore, even all that we're trying to say about Avshalom, I don't know if it's true. Vayehi David bar harosh, asher yishtakav esham, little kid. When David came at Harosh, the Targum Yonatan says, when he came to the top of Harzetim, at the top of the mountain, asher yishtakav esham lelukim, that there he would bow down before God. What I believe the Radak writes the following. This is very important. V'hoyo nifrad minakom hamigdash v'lo hoyo yadayim yoshev od ka'odom hanotel v'shut me'ahavo b'tzeitol galut. It's like a person who is taking leave of a king. Or do you see? You know, one of the miracles at the Kotel is the people who can walk all the way backwards and nothing ever happens to them. I think that's one of the miracles. Understand? Yeah, I mean, especially the girls. I watch the girls, you know, they start from the wall of the Kotel, and I don't always watch, you know, but when I go to pick up my wife there, so I see them, you know, they're all walking backwards, and you know, they make it. They push it, make it. I always think they're going to fall over themselves.
Or
bump into somebody, and they just go all walking backwards. Yes. You don't look. I don't know. There are some who do, some who don't. In other words, I walk in normal fashion with my back to the Kotel until I come to the exit, and then I turn around, sort of. This is what David is doing. Do you think David was walking up Har HaZeisim backwards? He and barefoot. That's right. With his head covered, he was walking up straight. When he comes to the top of Har HaZeisim, then he turns around to take that one last look at Yerushalayim, and as the Radak says, like one who is asking permission from the king to take leave of him as he goes out into exile. V'hine l'kirato chushai ha'arki, and as he's continuing from the top of Har HaZeisim, and behold, who is coming toward him? Coming toward him is chushai ha'arki. Chushai ha'arki, we're going to see later on. Soon we're going to see he was one of the officers of the king. He was a friend of the king. He was an advisor of the king. Karua kutanto, his garment is torn, v'adoma al rosho, and there is earth upon his head. V'yomalo David said to him, imavarto iti v'hayita alayla masa, if you will come with me, if you're going to cross over with me, v'hayita alayla masa, you will be a burden to me. He wants him to. He wants him to go back to the city. The Radak here also says, if you will be in the city, you will be of more use to me. Your advice, your counsel. Im alvarta iti v'hayita alai lemasa v'im ha'ir tashod. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, because here he continues and he says, coming with me, you're going to be a burden to me. But v'im ha'ir tashuv, if you will return to the city, v'amarto l'avshalom avdecha, ani hamelech ehyeh, if you're going to tell him, if you're going to tell Avshalom, I am your servant and I will be with the king, ani hamelech ehyeh, eved avicha v'ani me'oz v'ato v'ani avdecha, I used to be your father's servant, but now I am your servant. If you will pledge allegiance to Avshalom, then you're going to be in a position, you will be in a position rake? No, heifarta, there has to be a better word for the heifarta. Anybody with an English translation over there? You will defeat? And you frustrate? Defeat, frustrate, obstruct.
Isn't that the same connecting up to the word sakel at the top?
Right.
He is a sakel now.
Ah, so now, oh, wait a minute. Good that you mentioned that. What was said before, David, when he speaks to the Rebbe Shem, he says, sakel na et atzat achitofel. Yeah, no, it is from Seichel, but it, with a samach, it's sachal, a sachal is a fool. You know, what he's doing is the following. He prays to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam should make the council of Achitofel make it foolish. To Itai says, if Achitofel is going to come up with good advice, you know what I need? I need somebody who is going to oppose it or defeat it or break it. Utsu Eitsu V'Tufar. I need somebody. And what happens if God hasn't heard my prayer? And what happens if the advice of Achitofel is going to be good? Why does he use the word sakelna? Now it occurs to me in that very powerful statement by Rabbi Akiva. You know the story by Churban Bayit Sheni? It was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai who asked of this Vespasian. He asked of him one of the things that he asked for was give me Yavne v'Chachamecha, give me Yavne the wise men. He didn't ask lift the siege of Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Akiva later said the pasuk Meshiv Chachamim Achor v'Da'atam Yisakel. God is the one who turns the minds of the wise back, and their counsel Yisakel He makes foolish. So Rabbi Akiva said this about Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai because he said he should have asked Vespasian to lift the siege of Yerushalayim. So there, the word Yisakel, that's what the Rebbeinu Shel Olam does. He turns the advice or the counsel of the wise, he makes it foolish. That's what David prays to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam for. But then he needs his man in place, lahafer, to break the atzat Achitofel. V'halo im chosham tzadok ve'aviatar ha-kohanim, with you there at tzadok ve'aviatar ha-kohanim. Now do you see how David, even in the midst of the pain, the agony, the mourning, the grief, his head is still, it's working. He already made sure that Tzadok and Aviatar HaKohen and their children Achimatz and Yonatan. Achimatz is going to be an extremely important man. Achimatz is a long distance runner. Achimatz is able to run with the speed of speedy. So Achimatz is in place. So he tells him, listen, Tzadik and Aviatar HaKohanim are there. V'hoya kol ha-dobar asher tishma mi beit ha-melech, whatever you hear from the house of the king, tagid le-tzadok u-le-aviatar HaKohanim, whatever you hear in the house of the king, tell it to Tzadik and Aviatar HaKohanim. Hinei shom imam shnei b'neim, hold with them, there are their two sons, Achimatz le-tzadok, v'yonatan le-aviatar, Achimatz the son of Tzadik, and Yonatan the son of Aviatar. Ushalachtem biyotam elai, and you shall send in their hands through them to me. Kol dovar asher tishma, whatever it is that you will hear. Vayaho, Hushai re'ed David ha'ir. Hushai, the friend of David, came into the city. Va'avshalom yavo Yerushalayim. Va'avshalom yavo Yerushalayim. Avshalom is in the process of coming. Or Rashi says, Yavo Yerushalayim, Avshalom planned on coming to Yerushalayim. It also means the two, it says twice, you know, it says Vayavo by Hushai, and by Avshalom Yavo. You know, they're both coming to Yerushalayim, probably at the same time or near the same time. They're coming from different directions. Hushai Ha'arki is coming from the east. Avshalom is coming from the south. Remember, he had announced his rebellion in Hebron. They're both coming to the city, and what Avshalom doesn't realize is as he comes to the city, there's somebody else who comes to the city. In other words, you see the plot thickens. I was really going to say the Yad Hashem, you understand? Unless, of course, we are to say that in life, the plot always has to take into consideration the other Hashem. Let's go further. V'David Omar Ma'at Me'Harosh. David had gone a little further than the Rosh. Remember what Rosh was. Rosh was the top of Harazetim. So we've watched him come out of the city. He's been stopped at Nachal Kidron to watch everybody pass through, pass over, and then they began the climb up to the Harazetim. He stops again at the top of Harazetim. Now he has gone a bit further. The David Omar Me'at Me'Harosh, Me'Hinei Tziva, Narmi Fiboshet Likrato Tziva, who was the servant of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was the son of Yonatan. Likrato, he's coming toward him. V'tzemet chamodim chavushim, and he has a pair of donkeys that are chavushim. Chavushim means that they have saddles upon them. These are saddles that are carrying all sorts of things. And what are they carrying? Va'aleim, and upon them, matayim lechem, 200 loaves of bread, umeya tzimukim, and 100 bunches of raisins, umeya kayitz, and 100 kayitz are figs that have been dried, v'nei velyayin, and a gourd, or something or other of wine. Vayomer melech al tziva, the king said to Tziva, Ma Eila Loch, what are these unto you? Which means, why have you brought this? Vayomer Tziva, Hachamorim Beit HaMelech Lirkov, the Hamorim, the donkeys have come from the house of the king so that the king should ride upon it. Vahalechem Vahakayitz Lechol Hanaadim, and the bread Kayitz. Kayitz also can be all sorts of fruits that dry during the summer. That's why it's called Kayitz. Fruits that are placed out in the field to dry during the summer. V'hayayin l'shtot ha'yo'ev v'amidbar, and the wine is for the exhausted ones in the desert to drink. V'hayomer ha'melech, and the king said, V'hayayin ben adonecha, where is the son of your master? Where is Mephibosheth? V'hayomer tziva ha'melech, tziva said to the king, Hinei yoshev b'Yerushalayim, he is living in Yerushalayim, he remained in Yerushalayim. Ki yomar ha'yom, because he has said today, Yoshivu beit Yisrael et mamlechut avi, today the house of Israel is going to return to me the kingdom of my father. Here is a terrible, terrible Lashon Hara. Terrible Lashon Hara that is being said. And there are going to be terrible consequences of this Lashon Hara. He says that Mephibosheth has remained in the city because he hopes that now he's going to become king again. The honor and the glory of the house of Shaul is going to return. The pretender to the throne is in Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim, there's a vacuum in Yerushalayim. And maybe that's why it said by Avshalom, it said, Yavo, he's going to come. That means there's a period of time during which there is no king in Yerushalayim. David is gone, Avshalom has not yet arrived, and here Tziva says that he's going to grab the throne. By Yomar HaMelech L'Tziva, the king said to Tziva, this is a terrible mistake of David's for which he will pay later. The king said to Tziva, Hinei lecha kol Hashem Mephibosheth, behold, unto you is everything that belongs to Mephibosheth. In other words, the king, by the rights vested in him as king, has expropriated everything that belongs to Mephibosheth, and he gives it to Tziva, because Mephibosheth, he assumes, has rebelled against the king. Tziva is leaving the impression that he, of course, has come out, look with all these goodies, he's come out to follow David. His master is a traitor. Not only is his master a traitor, there's not one rebellion going on, there are two rebellions going on. And it's a lie. And we're going to see
that. The same kind of food that Abigail gave.
Yeah, it sounds very familiar. Most probably,
those are the things that keep you going.
Guy, bread, the staff of life, tzimukim, wine. Vayomer Tziva, Tziva said, Hishtachaveti, I bow down to you in thanks. Emtzachin beinecha, Adoni Melech. I should always find favor in the eyes of my master the king in the future, as I have found favor now. Ubah HaMelech David ad Bahurim.
you know, every way station. Lahavdil, you know, Lahavdil, that's exactly what I was thinking of, you know, Via Dolorosa, Lahavdil, Elif, Alfi, Alaf, Mavdalas. Every stop along the way, something else happens. And the king David came, Abd Bahurim. Bahurim is in the area, we are already now in the area of Mateh Binyamin. That's where he comes to Bahurim. Here most probably is the most painful part of it all, but David's response is a response of greatness. V'hinei misham ish yotzei mimishpacha beit Shaul, from there that came out a man from the family of the house of Shaul, u'shmo Shimi ben Gera. Shimi ben Gera comes out. Yotzei yotzo u'mekalel. He's going out toward him and he's cursing. V'yisakel ba'avanim et David. He made an intifada on David. He stoned David with stones. That kol avdei hamelach David, and all of the servants of King David. V'chol ha'am, v'chol ha'giborim, all of the people and all of the mighty ones, mi'imino u'mismolo, to the right and to the left. He's throwing stones at them. V'chol amar shim'i v'kalalo, and so said Shimi as he cursed. Tzei, tzei, ish hadamim, v'ish ha'blial, one of the... I don't know if we can say about a pasuk in Tanakh, infamous. Go out, you man of blood, v'ish ha'blial, and you evil person. I wouldn't be a bit surprised he was carrying a sign, Memshelet ha'damim, and said, say, say, ish ha'damim. Heishim olecho Hashem, God has brought upon you, he has returned upon you. Kol demei beit Shaul, all the blood of the house of Shaul. Hashem olachto tachtav, that you ruled in his place. God has given the kingdom into the hands of your son Avshalom. And there you are in your bad time, the worst time of your life. Because you're a man of blood. You're a man of blood. I don't know why, as I'm reading the pasuk, there are always things that overcome me. You always have people who are God's accountants, who know why this accident happened and why that accident happened and why the present problem. I mean, we have already, I don't know, it's something that seems to be relatively new. I'd say in the last 20, 30 years there has been this approach that we know why things happen. I remember a close friend of mine, an extremely intelligent man. The Intifada started 2 months after a movie house opened in Yerushalayim. He says to me, take a look, you see? He knows, you understand? He knows. He was Me'achorei HaTargod, he was up there behind the great curtain, and he listened in as God expressed his wrath, and he said it unto his people, bring an Intifada, because they opened up a movie house in Shafan. How do you know? How do you know? I could say one of a thousand different reasons. Who knows? Man knows. Here, Shimi ben Gera goes out. Nonsense. Obviously, what Shimi ben Gera is saying is nonsense. We know it's nonsense. Why do we know it's nonsense? Because we're privy to the fact that Natan Hanavi had told him that, listen, you are going to suffer. You're going to suffer as a result of the sin of Batsha. But remember, never forget, and this is something that we said it last week, we said it the week before, in all of these 7 chapters, it's working on 2 levels. People are making their own decisions. People are exercising their free will. Let no one make the mistake of thinking as though Avshalom is acting this way in order to bring suffering upon the house of David. He's not the one who is supposed to make such decisions. Men are always working on the basis of their own free will. It works into a divine plan, but man is never relieved of his free will. God never relieves man of his free will, except of course where it says the Farish in Torah.
But this man was from the house of Shaul, so
Of course! Everybody quote Atzmo Doresh. Everybody sees it with regard to what is closest to him. He's been waiting for all these years. His family was a family of royalty. Mr. Gavon is royalty. Shimi ben Gera, by the way, was a great Talmud Chacham. Or even says he was one of the Rabbeim of David. So you see, I'm afraid to say, can also make a mistake. Whom do we know comes from the family of Shimi? Very good. I mean, she said it like, of course. Ish Yehudi Hoya B'Shushan HaBira Ushmo Mordechai Ben Yair Ben Shimi Ben Kish Ishimini Ben Shimi. I mean, obviously they've skipped a number of generations. They've chosen the very special people who come from whose family he comes. But unbelievable how he hurts a man. I mean, at the worst moment of his life, say Ish Hadamim, Ish Hablial. I mean, what a thing to say to David. And yes, he knows exactly what's going on over here, exactly what God has in mind. One of God's great accounts, Hey Shiva Lecha Hashem called the Beit Shaul. God has brought upon you the blood of the house of Shaul. Hashem Alachta Tachtov, whom you ruled in his place. And he knows, he speaks for God. Vayitein Hashem et hamelucha biyad Avshalom benecha, v'himchobero atecha ki ish domimata. By the way, you see, there is something, he has contradicted himself. The great cursor has contradicted himself. Huh?
Yeah, because the Malucha is not returning.
He's not returning! He's not returning to Shaul. He has given it to his son of Shaul. He doesn't even realize the inner contradiction. If this is all punishment because you took away kingdom from the house of Shaul, so who should be ruling now? The one who should really rule now is Mephibosheth. But no! The one who curses, we're talking about the curse is the result of anger, and in the anger he can contradict himself, and he's not even aware of it.
Because how did he attribute all the blame to Dubby? Dubby didn't kill anybody. He was annoyed that he didn't take it himself.
Well, you're talking logic. I mean, obviously he doesn't see it. He doesn't see it this way. He sees it, great Talmud Chacham that he is, he sees it through his mind's eye. He sees it through his own glasses. And he has a different view. And it's all wrong. It's all wrong. Vayomer Avishai ben Tzruya l'Amelech. Avishai ben Tzruya said to the king, Lomo yekale ha-kelev ha-met hazeh et Adoni HaMelech. Why should this dead dog curse my master the king? Ebron, let me cross over, and I will remove his head. In other words, they are on sort of two hills facing each other, and he says, let me cross over. So here again, the word Ebra, of course, fits in with the geography and the terrain. You're crossing over mountains and hills. Let me cross over, and I will remove his head. Vayomer HaMelech, Mali v'lachem b'nei Tzruya. He had said this before, a few chapters earlier, much earlier in his career. What is there between me and you, you sons of Tzruya? Ki yikalel, let him curse. Ki Hashem omalo, kalel et David. God told him, curse David. Umi yomar madu al setekin. So how can anybody say to him, why did you do this? He said, I don't remember, yes, he had already been upset with, what is David? Is David also becoming God's accountant? What he is saying, according to the Gemara, what David is saying is, obviously I'm worthy of this kind of punishment. I deserve this kind of punishment. That even at my worst moment, there's somebody out there and he is cursing me. What David is doing, David is accepting upon himself this horrible, horrible punishment, bi'ahava. That's all. Now, see, there's a big difference between saying God did something to me or saying God did something to you. There's all the difference in the world. You know what the difference is? The difference is, I would say, what has gone on often in our Jewish community. Now, I always know what the Rav Shmuel is doing to the next guy. I know his sin, I know his chait, I know all the blame that's supposed to fall upon him. Any blame upon me? No! If anything, if there's an intifada, it's because Pliny Almighty, Chilaini, opened up a cinema, a movie in Yerushalayim. Maybe it's because I talked Lashon Hara, I was Mevatel Torah, I didn't do enough for Klal Yisrael or for Eretz Yisrael. Maybe the blame is me. Now, this is always, I speak often about this blame game, that we know always how to point the finger, the accusing finger, at somebody else. And not only we point an accusing finger, but we know that God is the one who's doing it. But to point an accusing finger at ourselves and say maybe we're guilty, nah. That's the difference between Shimi and David. Shimi says, oh, look what the Rav Hashem did to you, you ish Adamim. You took away the kingdom, and you took it away from the house of Shaul, and there he goes, falls all over himself and says, and he gave it to your son. He gave it to your son. But David says, no, leave him be. He's going to be Mekabel, the Yisuchim Ba'ava. God obviously wanted me to suffer. Vayomer David al Avishai, Del Kol Avado. David said to Avishai and to all of his servants, Hinei b'ni asher yotzami me'ayim evakeshet nafshi, behold, my son who has come from me wants my life. V'av ki ata ben hayimini. And certainly not, so what, can I have a complaint to this ben yamini? Ben yamini?
Shimi.
Ish Yehudi ayah b'shushan abir ish ma'imarecha ben yamin shimi ben kish ish yamini. Ish yamini usually really meaning from the tribe of Binyamin. Hanichulo, v'yikalel, let him be, let him curse. You know, sticks and stones will break my bones, but curses will never harm me. Ki amar lo Hashem, God told him to do it. Ulay yir, now watch. Ulay yireh Hashem ve'eini. Maybe, you see, watch the Kri and the Ketiv over here, I believe. Not always can we plumb the depths of Kri and Ketiv. Ah, here you can see it. The way it is spelled, God will see my sin and that I have done tshuva, my sin. Do you see how he is taking the guilt, the blame upon himself? And then it also means maybe God will see my pain, my torment. V'heshiv Hashem li tovan, God will give me back good. Tachat kilul ha-Torah yom hazeh, in place of the curse that he cursed me today. Vayelech David v'anoshav baderech, and David and his men went on the way. I know somebody's going to ask me, here we have sort of a pause in the middle of the sentence, and it's obvious why there's a pause in the middle of the sentence. This pause is such a graphic pause. First of all, the pause separates between David and Shimi. Second, it's painting a picture for us. David is on one mountaintop and Shimi is on the other mountaintop, and there is a valley in the middle. There's something in the middle. Do you see the verbal picture that's being painted without anything there? The gap, the chasm between the two. The Shimi hola betzela ha'ar lumato, and Shimi is going on the tzela ha'ar, the spine of the mountain. Opposite him, halov vayikalel, going and cursing, vayisakel ba'avanim lumato, and he threw stones in his direction, v'ipar be'afar, and he threw dirt. Vayavo hamelech v'chol ha'om asher ito ha'yefim, and the king and all who were with him came exhausted, vayinafesh sham, and he rested there. This is in Bachurim. And meanwhile, v'avshalom v'chol ha'om ish Yisrael bo Yerushalayim, Avshalom and all the people of Israel came to Yerushalayim, v'achitofel ito, and Achitofel was with him. V'yihi kasher bo Hushai ha'arki, rei at David al Avshalom, and Hushai the arki, the friend of David, came to Avshalom, v'yomer Hushai al Avshalom. Hushai said to Avshalom, yichi hamelech, yichi hamelech. Long live the king, long live the king. Now Hushai here is pledging his allegiance to the new king. V'yomer Avshalom al Hushai, zeh chazdecha ezreyecha,
this is the kindness that you do for your friend? How was Hushai described? He's described as Re'er HaMelech, the friend of the king. This is friendship. Lama lo halachtet re'echa? Why didn't you go with your friend? Vayomer Hushai alav Shalom, lo ki Hashem bachar Hashem v'ha'om hazeh v'chol esh ish Yisrael lo e'yeh v'ito eshev. Here there's also a fascinating creative. I mean, these psukim are so graphic, like, you know, you just have to get into... take a look, he says, Hushai said to Avshalom, no, the one whom God has chosen, and this people, and all of the people of Israel, lo e'yeh v'ito eshev. Do you see how the lo is written? It's lo mitam aleph, but it's supposed to be read lo mitam vav. In other words, he's really saying, I will not be with him. But he is leaving the outer impression of lo, with him I'm going to be. V'hashenit, and second of all, l'mi ani evod, whom am I serving? Halo l'fnei b'no, I'm serving his son. Kasher avadati l'fnei avicha, as I served your father, kein eyeh l'fanecha, so I shall be before you. I'm afraid we're going to have to leave the rest till after Yontif. We start immediately the Wednesday right after Pesach. You can read further. Anyway, have a chakosha with some after. You know, you gave me a little chias today. I don't know, you gave me a little energy. You woke me up. Then let me thank Riva for the sefer. Her son came out with a sefer, wrote a sefer, and here is published called Vani Avarchem, all of the halachot of Duchening, Nesi'at Kapayim, all of the halachos of Duchening. And I've perused it very quickly, and it looks that it's like it's very comprehensive and well done. So she gave me two, one for me and one for the shul. Okay, thank you.